The Western Huddle Podcast with Embers, Zave and Tom for everything AFL. Thanks to our mates at RAC Insurance, featuring the biggest names in WA and all the breaking news.
Yes, welcome to the Western Huddle for episode 3 after round number 2. All thanks to our mates at RAC Insurance. Great to have them on board, Zave.
Oh, always great to have them on board. Use them once, save my bacon and new flooring, done with a flooded house. So yeah. There you go. I love
it. I spoke about that last week. I just thought they were picking you up from the side of the road, but they do it all.
They do it all, mate.
Signed on. Great to have them on board with the Western Huddle. Hey, should we start with the positives or the negatives for the review of round number two?
I'm a positive guy, mate, so let's go with the
negatives. Glass half full. Let's go.
West Coast Eagles. Oh, win number 3 from the past 28.
Book your tickets to September, West Coast fans.
They were super impressive. Yeah. Albeit against the Giants side, which were missing, you know, 3 of their best midfielders. Plus, they had Ware went down with an injury and Callaghan wasn't fit. But I think more about the way they moved the ball and their competitive spirit.
Were you surprised to see Tim Kelly get the 10 votes from the coaches?
We spoke about that. I actually asked Leachie yesterday because he was in the box. So sometimes when, you know, you look at a player, and we were obviously speaking so much about Jones. Yeah. It was really clear to us that that Jones was the best player on the ground. I still believe that Jones had the biggest impact.
Yeah,
on the
I agree.
Because of the, not just getting little cheapies out the back, but he had 11 inside 50 entries.
No, he was best
from
on the ground.
Back.
I don't know what the others were watching.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'd still, to this day, I'd still say that Jones was the best player.
Went for 800 metres and 11 inside 50s. I thought it was an outstanding game.
He took the game on, something that West Coast have been crying out for such a long time. I think they got it right because last week he obviously started inside forward 50.
Kicked the first goal.
Goal of the game. And then he went back. And another really good move that I thought was Hunt, who'd gone from half back, went up onto a wing. And he actually looked better as a wingman.
22 and 2 or 20 and 2 and something like that.
22, So they linked up together really well. That was it was really impressive.
They need meters game players. I was still a little bit unsure about the defence. If they'll come up against Carlton this week, because I'd be pretty nervous.
Yeah. Or Tommy Barris, if he had to come up against Charlie Curnow the way he played in the weekend.
Well, Hogan kicked 3-3-ish.
He kicked Jesse Hogan 3-4.
3-4. Yeah. And they were a couple of sodas too that he missed. That could have been a 5 or a 6 there for Hogan.
Larky kicked, what, 6 the week before?
Yeah.
I reckon there's something not quite right with Tommy Barris. You know, in the preseason when he had the guard over his thumb?
And
I just think he's either spoiling with the other hand or something's caused his timing to be out.
How old's his young fella at home?
2 weeks.
I reckon that might have
something to do with it.
It's changes your whole world, these little kids at home.
Someone sent me a text saying, does Tommy Barris play better footy without McGovern? Because he won the best and fairest last year without McGovern being there.
Well,
for
I think
most
they're both
year.
Very similar players. Tom Brass could play McGovern's role in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
that would be the easier role for him to play. But locking down on a key position is harder.
Yeah, I think whether I heard him speak after the game or someone told me this, but you know he admitted that his form wasn't great, didn't play well. But he goes, "How good is it to play crap and win?" Which I think is a really good sign because, you know, as a player, right, you always want to play well in a win. Sometimes you play horrible, but your team wins. And it does make you feel like, you know, you're still part of it and makes you feel good. And with where West Coast are at over such a long period of time, you know, he's probably had so many good games and West Coast have been belted. Yeah. So he's going, you know what, I'm happy to play shit.
Well, you get to that stage of your career where you don't care how you play.
No, that's right.
You just care about winning and losing.
You still want to, you know, you still want to compete.
Does that actually happen?
Well, you just want to win more than anything.
So as a youngster, are you more worried about how you play?
You're anxious about
Keeping your spot in the side.
Keeping your spot in the side, keeping up with the kids you were drafted with.
Yeah.
And then you transform into, you say, hear them say, play your role all the time. Of course you want to play well, but like you literally just want to play your role and win. But win was first and foremost.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants to play well this week, though. You don't want to play
But he's a good player, so he will.
Superstar player. Were either of you the kind of person that would sulk like and look back at your game like the day after and be down about your own performance?
Not sulk, but I'll tell you what. When I played poorly, I used to be so embarrassed that I would almost sort of hide myself in the house like for most of the week until the next game. So I didn't love going down to the shops, didn't love going down to the local coffee shop because I was just so embarrassed that I played so crap. And I was thinking to myself, everyone must be thinking had a horrible week and played really poorly. So it does get you down, but that's the great thing about football. You get an opportunity to redeem yourself the following week.
I think it's not sooking watching your vision. I think every player watches their vision
to get
to
better.
Learn and to go, shoot, that was pretty bad. Like Jason Horne-Francis on the weekend, if that vision's not shown to him, they did a head-to-head with Matt Rowe, who just never gave up. If you show the good, you show the bad.
Yeah.
Simone mentioned last night that they made the decision to put Jermaine Jones forward once they'd lost Junior Rioli and to play him as a forward.
Mm.
Then after 1 week, he went back. And if you look at their half-backs, so they still have Hoff to come in.
Yep.
They have find a spot for Bazo.
Yep.
Elliot Yeo isn't playing. They've got an abundance.
I don't think we'll see much of Bazo this year.
You don't think he'll play much?
Nah.
Why?
Well, I think Barras and Gov, you don't need three tools back.
Mm, yeah. Which is unfortunate because I thought he was good last year.
No, and he showed
and
enough.
And you think you want to play your kids.
But also we had Gov out and whatnot.
Yeah.
Three tools, I don't think.
A lot easier to play back than forward. And I think that's, like guys like Jermaine Jones, for example. You put him forward, and yeah, you know why, he can probably bob around, key a couple of goals, but then you saw the impact that he has, down back, and he go, well, why would you ever play him as a forward again?
Has to play there the rest of the year.
Of course.
Take the speed off the back line.
West Coast have been trying to, implement this sort of style for a while. They've trained this, quick ball movement, handball from receives, and trying to move it really quickly the whole preseason. Now, maybe in the first game, it didn't sort of really work that well. They got absolutely criticised, which I think was, unfair. And considering how well North Melbourne are going, maybe their game against North in round one stacked up.
If they could have played four quarters, they win that game.
Yeah,
they should be 2-0.
They had a poor second quarter. But let's take into consideration, whilst West Coast had a really great win, they only won one quarter on the weekend.
Yeah, they dominated that second quarter.
Yeah.
Oh, they kicked, I think, 1-6 in the final term. So they still had a lot of shots on goal. They just couldn't kick straight.
Mm.
Do you reckon they've solved or found a resolution for the ruck problem? So they took Callum Jamieson out. They went in with Jake Waterman.
He hurt himself, didn't he? Did Jamo hurt himself?
He hurt himself the day before the waffle. So he was already out before he hurt himself.
Oh, was he? Okay, gotcha. All right.
And Waterman played that backup role. So Oscar Allen didn't have to ruck.
Yeah.
They left Bailey in there, who got obliterated in the hitouts.
Mm.
And then Waterman kicked four up front.
Yeah, well, I think West Coast mids did a better job at actually nullifying the opposition mids this week. Now, we know Kelly was out, which was a huge loss for the Giants. They look flat. Whitfield, he's not an inside mid, but he does run and carry and hurt you on the outside. So, well, I think what West Coast did is they actually, started 1-on-1. They were really strong at the contest, but then they were actually prepared to go and win the footy once the ball, went their way, but then defend the other way, which I think in the past, when Nick Nat hasn't been there, they've got just caught flat-footed and tried to go and get the footy. So, lost the hit-outs, but won clearances, won contested possessions. It was definitely a focus this week to be hard around the contest.
Not so relevant these days, but back when Nick Nat used to be star Nick Nat, clubs used to go, righto, the West Coast will have one of the fanciest hit-outs in four, and it'll look brilliant.
Yep.
But three out of four, they'll be on the back foot.
Mm.
Good luck.
Mm.
And that was the theory. And West Coast would go, oh, geez, we had 10 really clean hit-outs and clearances. But the opposition would literally go, but we feasted on 75% that weren't seen as artwork. It was just a scrap.
Mm. They need Yoey back for that pressure around the ball without Nick playing. So I think Yeo will miss it. He misses again this week, which will be 3 weeks, 3 games with a calf.
Yeah, I don't really play next week either.
So that's four with a calf, and Nick's at least two, maybe three away without Achilles. So,
yeah.
And they're their two main aggressors around the ball.
I think Nick needs to be fit to play.
So has to play waffle, yeah?
Yep.
I think their first waffle game's in 2 weeks, Easter weekend, I think.
Don't know, but
it might be this weekend.
Yeah.
And Simo's showing some emotion. Good to see.
Yeah.
See him throwing the water bottle, getting a bit upset.
Clarko showed some emotion, got whacked for it last night.
Yeah, but who did you get whacked by?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that leads us into Fremantle, who they're playing this week. The Dockers. get the arrow out. They were super disappointing for a team that was tipped to will play finals. Some people had them in the top four. The Tadpole had them in the grand final. Ryan Daniels.
Had them winning the flag.
They are 0-2. They play West Coast this week, and then they've got another four games they would have penciled in as wins at the start of the season.
Yeah.
They're drifting out to $1.50 now. They were $1.26. Now they're out to $1.48, $1.50. So they're drifting. What has gone wrong with the Dockers?
Well, game style.
They can't score for one.
No, but I think they're playing far too slow. We literally saw Jermaine Jones run straight and run fast and kick it long.
Yeah.
Back in, and I think we overrate talls.
Mm.
All you need is, I think modern day football is a contest. Like, for example, Taylor Adams is playing half forward at Collingwood at the moment.
Yeah.
And he wins those one-on-ones all the time. All you need is a contest, a get it to ground, and then they go. Collingwood do it so well. Whereas Fremantle are going, chip. Oh, no, the forwards don't get a mark. You're like, well, it takes so bloody long. Of course they're not going to get a mark. But they need to go handball receive, run, kick it 70, run 15, kick it 55, make it 70, just get a contest.
And then get numbers around
and
the ball.
And then go again. Yeah. And I think that's the way modern-day football's going.
Are they lacking trust in their forwards at the moment?
But how would you know, mate? Of course they are. They've got no star forwards up there. Mm. But Christ, I'd lack trust in my defenders chipping it sideways all the time.
Yeah, they've got some concerns in there at the moment. Matt Tavernier has been
He's been subbed out twice because he hasn't been fit enough, they said. He's cramping too much.
Really? Is that why he's been subbed out?
That's what Longy said, yeah.
Yes. But you don't sub out players that are having a big impact on the game, right?
You don't cramp as much when you do get subbed out.
Yeah, so
when you're having a big game.
Now, Justin Longmuir did mention that he was going to tinker with the forward line. They looked probably
their midfield got whopped too, though.
They did.
Midfield got slaughtered.
Yeah.
Their half forward line, I was on the boundary for the game.
Yeah.
And at the centre bounce, Caleb Sarong, who was switching out of the midfield, was at centre half forward quite a bit with their resting midfielder with Schultz and another small on the side.
Yep.
I noticed they couldn't get the ball from half back deep enough into attack. They kept breaking down at half forward.
Yep.
And it wasn't until the last 4 minutes when they changed their game style, Zave, like you said, and went quicker and bombed it deeper that you saw some contest and then Brennan Cox kicked that goal from nothing kind of thing. I think they got to find a way to get the ball deeper.
I think just back
into their 50.
Quicker and back the person. And it might be.
Is it Brandon Walker who didn't play first two games?
Walker. God no. Not God no in terms of.
But he gives them some speed at least from half back.
Yeah. I think there's bigger issues than Brandon Walker can do. But I just think they need to back themselves. Look, Andy Brayshaw is a tremendous player. But get down the line and compete down there. Don't worry about getting the 15-metre.
Little dinky kicks. Little dinks. He gets a lot of those dinky kicks. And, I mean, we can be critical of
but
him.
But a lot of them do. He was their best, I thought. But, like, I think a lot of them do the dinky dink dink, which is part of their style. But the game's moved, I think, from the beautiful. We're not trying to get an end-of-season highlight package. Yep. You're trying to win a game.
Rory Lobb, like him or don't, but they are really struggling at the moment to replace what he did last year. I mean, 36 goals. Yes, he had a pretty solid season, but at least they had someone to kick the footy to. And then Matty Tavernier, on the back of that, when he was out there, he was going, well, you know what, I'm the number two forward, so I can sort of start to get my tail going. At the moment, Matty Tavernier is the number one key forward. He's coming up against the best defender, and he almost looks mentally shot.
Yeah. Mm. They played Jai Amos on the weekend.
Yeah, well,
he competed a little
bit.
He's
a young kid. He's got to get the third best defender. He can't be getting the second best defender. Or at times when Matty Tavernier went off, he was getting the best defender.
And as much as Luke Jackson's copped a heap of criticism, and the back page in the paper today is a bit of a stretch, I think. He's 21 years old. He's gotten to some spots where he could have kicked three goals, I think, in both games. He's just dropped simple marks. Yeah. He dropped a chest mark on the weekend with no one around him.
Mark dropped a couple of some in the air. That's just he's just got to keep working at that and get his confidence up.
For the first time, he's looked like a basketballer.
Basketball or football.
Yeah, like bouncing around, athletic, just missing the marks and just getting out of position.
I think it's probably time now, and I wouldn't say I feel for Brennan Cox because I think he could be an All-Australian defender, but this is, again, Fremantle's issue. Really, since Matthew Pavlich retired, they haven't had a key forward in their team, right? That's been consistent. Now, Brennan Cox, he started as a forward. He went back into
defence.
Didn't
he win the Dockers' best young player as a forward in his first year?
I reckon he might have. Yeah, I reckon he might have. Now, Griffin Logue last year was defender. He had to go forward, pretty much stuffed him right up.
But he made a contest every time.
But he made a contest, you know. But for him, he goes, you know, well, the club obviously don't rate me as a defender. Everyone else in the competition does. He went forward, now he's gone. I think what's going to happen is Brennan Cox is going to have to go forward. Yeah. He's going to have to go to full forward.
He kicked the goal in 8 seconds.
In 5 seconds.
Like a play Joel Hamling.
Well, that's what I mean. Joel Hamling can come in. But
I reckon you need to keep going taller and taller and taller.
But what does that do to shorter? Heath Chapman can play, you know.
Taller. Hayden Young can play taller too.
The best goal kickers in the game kick three.
Yeah.
Average three a game.
Yeah.
Like, if they kick three, who cares?
Yeah. I reckon Sonny will play a full game this week. He gave him a bit of dash in the fourth
quarter. Jago O'Meara and Sonny Walters inside forward 50 and get rid of everyone else.
And then Fifey's the other one. Does he play? Because I reckon they might do something like bring in Josh Corbett.
I would have loved to see Fife play last week.
Remember we interviewed him as a gentleman.
Yeah.
He really was super nice.
Where's Sam Sturt at?
Nah, I've seen enough Sam Sturt at the waffle level.
Oh, really? Remember a couple of years ago, he played that game against St Kilda?
It was his first game.
And he was just like pushing blokes out and taking these little marks inside. So
remember JL said he kicks goals.
Yep.
And JL was like, he's not even in the equation.
Yeah, okay.
Doesn't defend, hey?
I've seen enough. And maybe he had a big preseason. He was carrying something last year, maybe. But his just work rate was pretty poor.
Yeah, well, Freo just have to win this week. There's just no doubt about it. If they don't win this week, they cannot play finals.
What are you picking?
Well, I think West Coast can win this one.
Do you reckon? Yeah.
I think the Dockers turn it around.
I just don't, unless Brennan Cox goes forward and kicks four, who's going to kick their goals? They're going to have to kick 12 to win. West Coast can score.
Yeah.
So, and West Coast defenders will have an absolute field day.
If they play that style.
So Adelaide away the week after.
That's a tough game. The Crows are going good.
Freo.
At Adelaide Oval. Adelaide is not favourites in that.
If I was tipping it today, I'd tip the Crows.
Yep.
And then they have a run, a month of Brisbane, Sydney, Geelong, Melbourne, Richmond.
Well, at one stage, we thought they were going to be 6-0.
Now, the first seven are pretty easy, and then it gets hard sort of round eight onwards.
Seven onwards again.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they don't win the next two or three.
The Dogs
who are going like a busted. Yeah.
But so
here.
But round six, Dogs, then it goes Lions, then Hawks will topple them because they're going well. Swans, Geelong, that is a tough 6 weeks.
Yeah, why the first six when they had the easy games.
That's a tough six.
They needed to be 6-0 kind of thing, especially when you might have backed them over the 12 and a half.
Four
wins.
Of the five are against top 14.
No, they're not getting over 12 and a half at the moment.
I'm holding out hope.
The only way is up.
All right. Anyway, so Western Derby on Sunday, we're calling it 3 o'clock. Should be a belter of a game. Should be a big crowd too. Probably expecting 50, 55. Dockers home game.
Yeah, I think they get just over 50. Be a good crowd if they can.
Do you remember the game last year? I think it was the second derby and Caleb Sarong got the 150-metre, 100-metre penalty. He got, was it 250s in a row for him?
Who gave it to him?
I can't remember. There was a fight and he ended up with
Jack Redden.
Had the jumper ripped off.
Yeah,
he was down.
Danny Shuey yelled out from the crowd, "That's so wrong, so wrong." Do you remember that? You hear that? That's what she yelled out.
Just leaving you. Leaving you hanging. Anyway, big game.
That was brilliant by Danny.
Sunday, all on the line for the Dockers and the Eagles looking for two in a row for the first time. I don't know. About 2 or 3 years for them. Yeah. This has been the Western Huddle. We will catch you next week.
The Dockers are roaring back into this one.
That's all from the Western Huddle this week. Listen Tuesday next week for your dose of everything AFL. 92.9 Triple M, Perth.